Verse 4, 29, 1 to 9. These are the terms of the covenant the Lord commanded Moses to make with the Israelites in Moab, in addition to the covenant he had made with them at Horeb. Moses summoned all the Israelites and said to them, "Your eyes have seen all that the Lord did in Egypt to Pharaoh, to all his officials and to all his land. With your own eyes you saw those great trials, those miraculous signs and great wonders. But to this day the Lord has not given you a mind that understands or eyes that see or ears that hear. During the 40 years that I led you through the desert, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet. You ate no bread and drank no wine or other fermented drink. I did this so that you might know that I am the Lord your God. When you reached this place, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, came out to fight against us, but we defeated them. We took their land and gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Carefully follow the terms of this covenant so that you may prosper in everything you do." And in chapter 30, verses 11 to 20. "Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now, choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob."
Okay. It's wonderful to be with you guys here this morning. Please be patient with me while I get set up a little bit. It's great to be here again and to see you all. And I know I haven't met most of you, but please come and say hello afterwards. Especially if you're keen to be involved in youth ministry around this place, I'd love to get to know you and be able to work with you in the months and hopefully years to come. So, please keep the Bible open. We're going to be looking particularly at verses 11 through 20 together. How about I pray before we start? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who speaks and you speak clearly. Thanks that you have given us this word to look at this morning, and we ask that you would help us to understand it. That you would speak to us through it, and that you would have us know how we should go out from here and respond to it today. Please do all this by the power of your Spirit and for the sake of your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, The last talk for this Deuteronomy series, I've just found out that you guys are talking about it as the next generation, the next generation. Anyway, I wonder, how good are you at making decisions? How good are you at making decisions? Myself, I can be quite indecisive. My family would tell you, if they were here, they would tell you how indecisive I can be, especially when we go out for a meal. I look at the menu and I just can't decide what I want to eat. That's probably 90% of the time, although I think I'm getting better. I just look at it and go, I can't decide. Some days, my tummy has been wanting something for like the whole afternoon, and that's easy, but often, I can be very indecisive. That can prove problematic in a whole lot of different areas of life. But I'm learning to get better and be more decisive. We're going to do a little activity now, and if there are kids in the room, you guys can join in with this. We're going to do a little activity called This or That. I'm going to say, for example, Minties or Fantails. And what I want you to do, you can just say it where you are. If you want to say it to the person next to you, that's fine. I just want you to make a decision about which one of these two options you prefer. So we'll start with the one that I just said. Minties or Fantails? Summer or winter? Tea or coffee? Cereal or bacon and eggs? Okay. Movie or a book? Okay. Sleep in or early riser? All right. Okay. So there's a few lighthearted ones. We go a little bit deeper now. Rent or buy? Repair or replace? Drive or walk? Online or in the store? It's funny hearing the different answers kind of come. I don't actually know who's saying most of them. Take a risk or play it safe? Here's one. This one inspired by Scotland. Independence or monarchy? We'll go a couple more. Telemarketer calls you. Do you hang up abruptly or listen and politely say thank you, but no thank you? Last one. I feel it's grand final season, a final season. I love finals, so. But I know many of you don't. So, sport or what sport? Good. I'm glad to hear there's a few passionate people out there that are like, what sport? I know it's not everyone's favorite thing. Steve's shocked. Don't be shocked, Steve. You should know this. Okay. Anyway, decisions. All sorts of decisions we make every single day. Some are easy. Some are hard. Some are really small decisions, like what will I eat for breakfast. Some are really big decisions, like will I buy this house, or where will I send my kids to school. And on top of that, some days are really easy to make decisions. Other days, it can be really hard to make decisions. Some days, I feel like it doesn't matter what the decision is, whether it's easy or hard, whether it's big or small, whether it's like choosing between an apple, a green apple and a red apple, like sometimes I just feel like I just can't make the decision. What we're looking at today is a day where Israel had a big decision to make, a little bit like Scotland has had this week. At one level, this decision for them should have been really, really easy. But at another level, it's such a big decision. Maybe you noticed it as we read through. Their lives actually depend on this decision. What's going to happen to them depends on this decision. So where we're at in the Bible in context, this is Moses' final sermon in the book of Deuteronomy. There's three kind of key sermons. The big one is the really, really long one. Runs for like 14 chapters or even, I think, a little bit longer than that. But this sermon's just chapter 29 and 30. That's why we started with the 29 verse 1. There's the beginning of the sermon, and you can see the context there in verse 2. Moses summoned all the Israelites and said to them, "He's all of Israel are there gathered." If you read down a little bit further and around verse 11, you see that it's all of Israel. Like literally, there's adults, there's children, there's Israelites, and there's even foreigners who are there as their servants. They're all there, and Moses is speaking to them. So we read the beginning of the sermon, and we read also the end of the sermon in chapter 30, verse 11 to 20. And here which is where we're going to focus, Moses has this really passionate kind of plea to the people of Israel about what they are to do. This is just before they're about to enter into the land God had promised to give them. So it's about how are they going to live once they get in the land. It's a decision that they're making about how their life in the land is going to proceed. Well, let's look at it. There in verse 11 to 14, it should come up on the screen as well if you don't have your Bibles there. "Now what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it." It's not too hard, Moses says. But what is it that's not too hard? We know it's this word that's come to them and the commands, but maybe you haven't been here for the Deuteronomy series, or maybe this is your first time here at church. So we're just going to step back through really briefly the sermon. There's a summary that'll be up on the screen. And Moses kind of goes through these four kind of parts. Firstly, there's the past. And he talks about how, and we read it in chapter 29, verses 2 to 9. In the past, God had rescued Israel. He'd provided for them while they were living out in the wilderness, out in the desert. And he'd protected them from their enemies. He helped them to defeat some of the people in the land where they were currently in Moab. But then, after looking back at the past and saying, "You've got to know that this is your God, Israel," we come into the present in verses 10 to 15 of chapter 29. And he says, "You're the covenant people of God. God wants to reaffirm this covenant with you that you are his people and he will be your God. You are his people, he will be your God." Then we start to move towards the future. Moses starts looking towards the future, that kind of as they enter into the land, some of the stuff that they need to remember. And the key thing here is he says, "Don't make sure that none of you turn away from the Lord your God to worship other gods. Don't turn away. For if you do, you will be destroyed." There's a bit more detail on the screen, but that's the gist of it. Then after saying they'll be destroyed and they'll be removed from the land and scattered among the nations and the land itself will be a wasteland, he then says, once all of this happens, so this is the start of chapter 30, once all of this happens and you realize what's going on, you need to turn back to the Lord your God. Turn back to him and he will turn back to you. And you again come under his blessing. That's what Moses has said in the lead up to saying, It's not too hard for you. But I want to focus in on one other thing. Up on the screen, here's a verse from earlier in Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 4 to 5. It kind of summarizes what Israel are meant to do. As they're part of the covenant, the way they're supposed to respond to God, there it is. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. This is the command that Moses, if you like, the summary of what Moses has said. This is what you are to do, Israel. And he says, it's not too difficult for you. 30 verse 11. And 30 verse 14, know the word is very near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. It's not too hard for them. And that's because God has made it really clear to them what they're to do. That's the key thing there in verse 11 and verse 14. God has made it really clear to Israel what they're to do. And so, they're able to do it. It's not an unclear command that they're not able to do. But also, when I read it and I think about it, I kind of have this question, is it possible for them to do it? Can they actually do it? And thinking about this, I can't help but think that, yes. You see, if this is a hypothetical appeal, like if he's saying, this is not too hard for you to do it. But really he's like, oh, hypothetically you could do it, but really you can't. It would be unfair, right? It'd be an unfair request of God. But God is not like that. It's not a hypothetical. It's not an impossible task. God's not setting them up for a fall. But there's clearly a big challenge here, isn't it? It's hard. So what's going on? Anyway, Moses, he wants to give them, he moves on from this, knowing that it's probably going to be hard for them, he moves on to give them a little bit of motivation for why they should do it, why they should choose to do it. Firstly, we already saw in verses 1 through 9, Moses said, look at all of the stuff that God has done for you in the past. Look at all the miracles that he had performed to rescue you. Look at how he provided for you and protected you. Remember that. That's where he started. But he doesn't just stop there. We see here in verses 15 to 18, Moses is really clear in putting this decision and all like the pros and cons right in front of the Israelites to see. Making that list. I don't know if you're a pros, cons, list decision making person. I kind of do it in my head, I think. Not often have I sat down to write it. But Moses is like, here it is. And here it is up on the screen. Here it is. See, I set before you today life and prosperity. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. Very, very clear decision. And very, very clear list of pros and cons. Life and prosperity, or death and destruction. Now kids, I need one helper, really. Just one helper. I love game shows, and I love how my man right down the front here, come on up. What's your name? Tim. Come on up. I love game shows, and I love at the end that sometimes of game shows they have like the mystery door. I should have used the mystery doors. I forgot about these. And you don't know what's behind them, and they say you can choose this one or this one. And sometimes they give you a very clear prize. It's like, you can have $1 million, or what's behind door number two? And you open door number two, and it's like, here's a chocolate bar. Anyway, I've got two things here. I mean, you can choose. You can have this box, Do you want to tell? Yeah, what's in that? Can you see? Have a good look at it. It's full of rubbish. Emptied it from my rubbish bin. It's pretty delightful. There's some eggshells, some used tissues. It's pretty good. This one. So you can choose this one, or you can choose this container with Minties and Fantails. See them? And look, you might not believe that there's actually Minties and Fantails. So why don't you? Is it a real packet of Minties? Yep, okay, put it back in there. Okay. Your choice. Now think carefully about this. It's a very hard decision, I know. Which one do you want? This one. You're sure? You sure? Do you think you should go with this one or this one? Okay. Well, we're going to give this one to you. You can take this one. Hey, there's one catch with this. You need to share it with all the other, with everyone else here at morning tea, okay? Can you do that for me? Yeah. All right, thanks, Tim. Give him a hand. Okay, really easy decision, right? Really easy decision. Life and prosperity, or death and destruction. And it's not even just for them, right? It's for the next generation and the generations after them, their children, their children's children. What do you want for them? It's such an easy choice. But if it's such an easy choice, why does Moses, in verse 19 and 20, feel the need to just go right over the top, up on the screen, and say, and make this really out, like this just huge appeal? He says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before. Heaven and earth, right? Like it's like, pay attention. This is really important. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is such a clear and easy choice the way Moses has presented it to them, but still he goes just over the top to try to just plead with them. Choose life. Let's come back to the summary. Hopefully it'll be the next slide. Excellent. You see in the future one and future two sections of the sermon, which you can go back and look at in more detail. In the first bit when he starts looking to the future, here's why Moses knows it's going to be hard and why he goes and pleads with them. Because he knows that when they're going to be living around all these other people, there's going to be other people around who don't live with God, the Lord as their God. They worship other gods. And so he's warning them not to go off and be like them. Don't look at the people around you and start living the way they do. There's the warning, because that's a danger. And we see how real this danger is in the second part, in the start of chapter 30, because it says, when all these blessings and curses I have set before you come upon you. Right, Moses is saying in advance, I'm warning you not to. Don't turn after other gods, because you're going to get cursed. But I actually know that you're going to. This what you're going to do, and that's what happened. Historically, Israel, they turned after other gods, and the curses came upon them. God removed them from the land. He knew that it was going to be different, going to be hard. That's why he was pleading with them. Pleading with them not to go and be like the people around them. Don't want that. Don't go after that. That's breaking God's covenant. You need to keep your heart for God. And so he is pleading with them, laying out very clearly what their choice is, so that they will choose life. And so when we look at all this, we see what the real problem is and why it's going to be so difficult. The next slide has just a little bit of stuff from chapter 30, earlier in it, verses 1 through 10. It says, so when all these blessings and curses I've set before you come upon you, and when your you've been dispersed among the nations, verse 2, when you and your children return to the Lord and your God and obey him with all your heart, verse 3, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes. He'll bless you again. He will bring you back. This is the bit that I really want us to see though. In verse 6, it says, the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. Here we see what the real problem is. It's the people's hearts. Their hearts, they want other things. And so the solution is that God would circumcise their hearts. Now, circumcision was a sign of the covenant in Old Testament. What's it saying? It's not saying that God's going to kind of cut around their heart. It's saying he's going to give them a heart that's going to love him the way that they are meant to. A covenant-shaped heart. Later in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel 36, it says this, for I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you, I love this verse, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people and I will be your God. It's beautiful. If you've never seen Ezekiel 36, this 24 to 28 before, like remember it, go back and look at it, think about it. Can you pop the next slide up for me? Because this is the verse I want to focus on. I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. God knows what the problem is and he knows what the solution needs to be. He needs to give his people a new heart so that they will love him with all their heart, soul and might. This was a promise of a new covenant. Came a long time after Moses, but it was a promise of a new covenant. They were looking forward to it and waiting for it, but we don't have to. We look back and we can see that this new covenant has come. It's been fulfilled in Jesus. You see, in Jesus, God fulfilled all the requirements of that old covenant. The one that he gave to the people through Moses. Jesus didn't come to abolish that covenant, to abolish all of those laws. He fulfilled them. He lived it out himself. He was faithful to it. He loved God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus, he also took all those curses for everyone that had turned away from God, turned away from the covenant. He took those curses on himself on the cross. You know how we said, Moses said, God rescued and provided and protected. In Jesus, God has done that for us. He has rescued us from death and destruction. He has provided all of our needs, our most important need, the forgiveness of sins. And given us a righteousness that we could never have. Bringing us back to God. And in Jesus, God protects us from our greatest enemy, the devil, who accuses us before God of our guilt. Looking to the past, but in Jesus, God has fulfilled this promise of the new covenant. We're going to remember in just a moment, we're going to have the Lord's Supper together. We're going to remember that time when Jesus said, take this bread. Here is my body broken for you. Remember my body broken for you on the cross. But remember, he also said, this is the blood of the covenant or the blood of the new covenant poured out for you. Jesus' death on the cross brings the new covenant. And so we're not held to this old covenant that Israel had to keep, where they had to choose life in the same way. They had to keep the law every single day, all the time. They had to do everything written in the law. They had to love God all the time, with all their heart, soul, and might. But we have a different choice. Our choice is Jesus or not Jesus. If we choose Jesus, we have life and prosperity. If we don't choose Jesus, if we choose anything else, it's death and destruction. The Bible is very clear that that is the choice we have to make. Have you chosen Jesus? Have you chosen life? If you haven't, today is the day to make that choice. Like Israel back then, their choice that day was to choose life. Well, today it could be your day to choose life by choosing Jesus. You might do that for the first time today. For the rest of us who've already made that choice, we've already chosen Jesus. Well, every single day we need to keep choosing Jesus. You see, Moses also knew that as Israel went into the land and there was going to be that difficulty living amongst the people who worshipped other gods, that they would be tempted to kind of go off and do that as well. They had to choose every day to choose God, to choose life. And we do too. There's people all around us choosing all sorts of different things. And there's a temptation that our hearts might stray and walk away from God, walk away from Jesus to choose something else. For ourselves or even for our kids or our grandkids. Each day, every day, we have to make this decision to choose Jesus. It's not always going to be easy, and we're not going to do it perfectly. And so we need to be reminded, just like Israel were, that when we stuff up, what we do is we need to turn back to God. We need to turn back to God. I want to leave you with God's words. And so Romans 10 is going to come up on the screen. He quotes from Deuteronomy 30 in that first section. You can see it in the yellow. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven or who will descend to the deep? The word is near you, it's in your mouth and in your heart. But the Apostle Paul, he kind of flips things around because he knows the answer to the new covenant. He says, what is it? What is this word? What is this choice we have to make? Verse 9, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will have life, the best life. The other option is not second best. It's not really another option. It's like choosing the box of rubbish. We're going to sing a song about Jesus and how in him alone is life. To remind each other that this is the choice that we want to make. We want to make it every day. And we want to keep helping each other to do that. And after that, we're going to remember what Jesus has done to secure that life for us by sharing in the Lord's Supper together. So would you please stand as we sing In Christ Alone.